The gratitude of the holy souls. Is it difficult to understand the gratitude of the holy souls? If you had ransomed a captive from the galling yoke of slavery, would he be grateful for such a benefit? When the Emperor Charles V took possession of the city of Tunis, he restored to liberty 20,000 Christian slaves who before his victory had been reduced to a most deplorable condition. Penetrated with gratitude towards their benefactor, they surrounded him, blessing him and singing his praises. If you gave health to a person dangerously sick, fortune to an unhappy creature who had been reduced to poverty, would you not receive in return their gratitude and their benedictions? And those souls, so holy and so good, will they conduct themselves differently with regard to their benefactors? Those poor souls whose captivity, poverty, suffering, and necessity far surpass all captivity, indigence, or malady to be found upon earth. They come especially at the hour of death to protect them, to accompany and introduce them into the happy abode of their eternal rest. We have already spoken of Saint Margaret of Cortona and of her devotion to the holy souls. It is related in her biography that at her death she saw a multitude of souls that she had delivered from purgatory form in procession to escort her to paradise. God revealed this favor granted to Margaret of Cortona through the medium of a holy person. This servant of God, rapt in ecstasy at the moment when Margaret departed this life, saw her soul in the midst of this brilliant court, and on recovering from her rapture, she related to her friends what our Lord had been pleased to manifest to her. Saint Philip Neri, founder of the Congregation of the Oratory, had a most tender devotion towards the holy souls in purgatory, and he felt a particular attraction to pray for those who had been under his spiritual direction. He considered himself under greatest obligation to them, because divine providence had confided them in a special manner to his zeal. It seemed to him that his charity ought to follow them until their final purification was accomplished and they were admitted into the glory of heaven. He confessed that many of his spiritual children appeared to him after their death, either to ask his prayers or to return him thanks for what he had already done for them. He declared also that by this means he had obtained more than one grace. After his death, a Franciscan father of great piety was praying in the chapel in which the venerated remains of the saint had been deposited. When the latter appeared to him, surrounded with glory and in the midst of a brilliant train, encouraged by the air of amiable familiarity with which the saint regarded him, he ventured to ask the meaning of that bright band of blessed spirits which accompanied him. The saint replied that they were the souls of those whose spiritual guide he had been during life, and whom, by his suffrages, he had delivered from purgatory. He added that they had come to meet him on his departure from this world, that in their turn they might introduce him into the heavenly Jerusalem. There is no doubt, says the devout Father Rossellini, that on their entrance into eternal glory, the first favors which they ask of divine mercy are for those who have opened to them the gates of paradise, and they will never fail to pray for their benefactors whenever they see them in any necessity or danger, and reverses of fortune, sicknesses, and accidents of all kinds, they will be their protectors. Their zeal will increase when the interests of the soul are at stake. They will powerfully assist them to vanquish temptation, to practice good works, to die a Christian death, and to escape the sufferings of the other life. Cardinal Baronius, whose authority as historian is well known, relates that a person who was very charitable towards the holy souls was afflicted with a terrible agony when on her deathbed. The spirit of darkness suggested to her the most gloomy fears, and veiled from her sight the sweet light of divine mercy, endeavoring to drive her into despair, when suddenly heaven seemed to open before her eyes, and she saw thousands of defenders fly to her aid, reanimating her courage, and promising her the victory. Comforted by this unexpected assistance, she asked who were her defenders. "We are," they replied, "the souls which you have delivered from purgatory. We, in our turn, come to help you, and very soon we shall conduct you to paradise." At these consoling words, the sick person felt that her fears were changed into the sweetest confidence. A short time afterwards, she tranquilly expired, her countenance serene, and her heart filled with joy. In order to understand the gratitude of the souls, it is necessary that we should have a most clear conception of the benefit they receive from their liberators, that we should know what it is to enter heaven. "Who will make known to us," says the Abbé Louvet, "the joys of that blessed hour? Represent to yourself the happiness of an exile who at length returns to his fatherland. During the Reign of Terror, a poor priest of La Vendée was condemned to be drowned. Having escaped by miracle, he was obliged to emigrate in order to save his life. When peace was restored to the church and to France, he hastened to return to his beloved parish. It was a festival day in the village. All the parishioners went to meet their pastor and father. The bells in the old tower rang joyously, and the church was decorated as upon days of great solemnity. The old man advanced smiling in the midst of his children, but when the doors of the holy place opened before him, when he beheld again the altar that had so long rejoiced the days of his youth, his heart, too weak to bear such transports of joy, broke within his bosom. With a trembling voice he intoned the Te Deum, but it was the Nunc Dimittis of his priestly life. He fell dying at the foot of the altar. The exile had not the strength to support the joys of his return." If such are the joys of the return of an exile to his terrestrial fatherland, who will make known to us the transports we shall experience upon entering heaven, the true home of our souls? And how can we wonder at the gratitude of the blessed whom we have caused to enter there? Father James Mumford of the Society of Jesus, who was born in England in 1605, and who struggled during 40 years in the cause of the church in that country, given up to heresy, composed a remarkable work on purgatory, which he had printed at Cologne by William Fresson, a well-known Catholic publisher. The book obtained a large circulation and effected a great good among the souls, the publisher, Fresson, being one of those who derived the great advantage from it. This is what he wrote to Father Mumford in 1649. "I write, Father, to inform you of the miraculous and twofold cure of my son and my wife. During the holidays, whilst my office was closed, I set to work reading the book, Mercy Exercised Towards the Souls in Purgatory, which you have sent me to print. I was still engaged in reading the work when I was informed that my young son, 4 years of age, showed symptoms of a serious illness. The malady made rapid progress, the physician lost hope, and preparations for his burial were already thought of. It occurred to me that I might perhaps save him by making a vow in favor of the souls in purgatory. I went to the church early in the morning and fervently besought God to have pity on me, promising by a vow to distribute 100 copies of your book among the ecclesiastics and religious free of charge, in order to remind them of the zeal with which they should interest themselves on behalf of the church suffering, and of the practices that are best suited to fulfill this duty. I acknowledge that I was full of hope. Upon my return home I found the child better. He already asked for nourishment, although for several days he had been incapable of swallowing even a single drop of liquid. The following day his cure was complete. He arose, went out for a walk, and ate with as good as an appetite as if he had never been sick. Penetrated with gratitude, my most urgent desire was to fulfill my promise. I went to the College of the Society of Jesus and besought the fathers to accept my 100 copies, to keep what they wanted for themselves, and to distribute the remainder among the other communities and ecclesiastics of their acquaintance, that the suffering souls, my benefactors, might be comforted by new suffrages. 3 weeks later, another and not less serious accident happened to me. My wife, upon entering the house, was suddenly seized with a violent trembling in all her limbs, which caused her to fall insensible to the ground. She soon lost her appetite and the power of speech. All manner of remedies were employed, but in vain. The malady only increased, and all hope seemed lost. Her confessor, seeing her reduced to this condition, sought words to console me, exhorting me to be resigned to the will of God. As for myself, after the protection I had experienced from the good souls in purgatory, I could not think of despairing. I returned to the same church, prostrated myself before the Blessed Sacrament, and renewed my supplication with all the fervor of which I was capable. O my God, I exclaimed, thy mercy is without limit. In the name of thy infinite goodness, permit not that the restoration of my son to health be atoned for by the death of my wife. I then made a vow to distribute 200 copies of your book, in order to obtain copious relief for the suffering souls. At the same time, I besought the souls that had formerly been delivered to unite their prayers to those of the others still retained in purgatory. After this prayer, I returned home, and saw my servants running to meet me. They told me that my dear wife was considerably better, that the delirium had ceased, and her speech had returned. I hastened to her side, and found all was true. I offered her nourishment, which she took with relish. A very short time afterwards, she was so completely restored that she accompanied me to the church, to return thanks to God for all his mercy. Your reverence may place entire confidence in this statement. I pray you to aid me in thanking our Lord for this double miracle.